around the 15th century, when sailors from the north began to explore the southern seas. Some animals are conspicuous by their absence from the sky. There's no celestial crocodile, elephant, or
hippopotamus, which rules out India.
And here's a further clue. There's an elaborate ship among the stars, formerly known as the constellation Argo. Whoever originated the constellations may have lived on the shore of a sea. Scholars say it's possible the constellation stemmed from Asia Minor or Armenia, a region bounded by the Mediterranean and other seas. Regardless of their origin, the constellations were passed to us through the Greeks. Today, Greek legends and myths make the night sky worthy of being called the world's oldest picture book. For April 2nd, that's star date. We'd like to send you some information on how you can order a sky calendar and star chart. To get the information, drop us a line at the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, Texas, zip 78712. And we'd appreciate it if you'd send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
I think that's
Let's start talking
enough. Okay. Yeah. We always like to have, well, we don't always do this, but sometimes we have a moment of silence after the theme plays out.
That's right, and it's played out.
We were in the mood tonight for that.
In the mood, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Minutes after 12.
What's this other stuff here you're going to start playing, too?
Well, we got some organ music from the old days. The kind of thing you might hear in the background of a film or something.
From the 20s.
Yeah, they call it the Mighty Wurlitzer. This is music from Movie Palace Organs.
Ooh.
Brings back memories of a time we never experienced.
That's true. A friend of mine once mentioned how he was involved with the Theater Organ Society up in Connecticut.
Is that so?
Yeah.
A Theater Organ Society.
Yeah.
So they still exist.
Apparently they do.
That's lovely to know. So this is the voice
of Long Island.
The voice that's starting to go on me.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Yeah, the voice is cracking, but this is the voice of Long Island.
That's true. I'm Mike Uhas.
I'm Eric Corley.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you'll be here for a couple of hours, at least.
Something like that. So how was your week this week, Mike?
My week? Well, unfortunately, I took sick yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
Didn't ask me.
Oh, that's true. I didn't really care. But, no, that's not really kidding. That was April Fool's Day. You were sick?
Mm.
Oh, that's too bad.
So to speak.
I have an April Fool's message.
Oh, is this the Rich Koch thing?
I don't know if this is the Rich Koch
one. Yes, it is.
It is.
It is.
Dakota Overland
Airways.
Would you like to hear this now?
Sure.
Okay, we'll take a little break and take a listen to this important message.
When you're on vacation, the last thing you want to do is spend a lot of time traveling. Now Dakota Overland Airways announces the best way to start your vacation just that much sooner. Introducing Shoreline Direct. Yes, now Dakota Overland Airways can put you at the beach directly. No more waiting for luggage at the terminal. No boring sitting on the runway. DOA puts you in the water before you can get out of your seat at a price that's bound to make a splash without soaking your wallet. With convenient flights now to Boston and Tokyo Harbor and the scenic Potomac River in Washington, D.C., Dakota Overland makes getting there fast, fun, and freestyle. Shoreline Direct, only from DOA, Dakota Overland Airways. Limited seating available. All cushions can be used as preservers. For reservations, call your travel agent, the Coast Guard, or DOA. Dakota Overland Airways. The spirit of Isaac Newton.
Oh, that's awful.
No.
Well, I mean, it's you know.
What's so awful about that? Why don't you bring me up, huh?
Oh, there you are. Sorry about that.
You brought up the wrong... You turned up a turntable instead of me.
You're not a turntable, you're a person.
That's true.
No, that was... Oh, yeah. Well... I don't make jokes about plane crashes, but that seems to be one that's drawn a lot of jokes. I don't know why.
Which one? This one?
Just planes crashing into water. I don't really think it's that funny, but some people do.
Yeah, you're certainly losing your voice there today.
Yes, I certainly am.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the biggest April Fool's jokes that I heard was hearing, in fact, that you are now a member of the moral majority.
Well, I guess in a way, I'm curious about certain things, and I tend to ask questions and ask people to send me things just so I can see what they're up to.
Yeah.
And yesterday, April Fool's Day, I thought this was pretty great. I got my moral majority identification card. And it says on the back of my card that this certifies that the bearer of this card is an active member of the moral majority and is helping to bring this nation back to moral sanity. Now, that's interesting because it implies that this nation once was morally sane. I'm just trying to figure out what era that was.
And so now we're insane, are we?
Apparently, yes.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm going to do with this card is try to help us get morally sane. I don't know what this card will do for me, if it'll get me discounts in certain places or allow me to close bookstores in Times Square and that kind of thing. Along with it, though, came a whole big spiel in an envelope.
Did it come with little labels to put in the corners of your envelopes?
No. Oh, that would have been great if I had that. No, it's a computer printout.
Mm-hmm.
It says, please let me know that you have received your official membership card and that you will carry it with you everywhere you go.
And it says, yes, Jerry, I have received my official membership, moral majority membership card.
With a little box next to it. Enclosed is my gift of 15, 25, 100, or little dotted lines that you can fill in.
So you're going to send them a check?
Well, it says here, also, please send a special gift to help us keep the moral majority alive and functioning effectively.
Why don't you send them a bad check?
Well, I'd like to send them a special gift. Does that have to be money?
Hmm.
A special gift could be... Well, you can use your imagination on that. And at the bottom, the computer says, thank you for being such a special friend to me. Which I think is... it's pretty interesting. Maybe we'll read the opening part of that letter. It's got all these blue underlines.
Dear friend, thank you so much for your interest in moral majority. You let me know that you, too, are concerned about such issues as abortion, pornography, illegal drugs, homosexuality, our country's military strength, and commitment to the nation of Israel. And you are the kind of person I need on my team. That's why I have sent you your own personal Moral Majority membership card today. But I have two special requests to make of you. One, insert this card in your wallet or purse. And two, let me know you have received your official national membership card. This card is yours because of your efforts to help us return this nation to moral sanity. I am hoping you will put your card in your wallet or purse immediately. And then, each time you see it, you will be reminded of the part you are playing in helping Moral Majority turn this nation around. Let me assure you, I am not sending a national membership card to everyone, only the special friends like you who are willing to sacrifice to help us. But now, I must ask to back up your beliefs with a special gift. You see, Moral Majority depends entirely upon the generous contributions of friends like you, because without your support, our hands are tied. And right now, hey, how come there's no underlines on this?
Well, no, that's interesting. Get back to that in a second. I was talking this over with Frank, our computer expert, and there are blue lines underneath a lot of passages on both the first page and the fourth page, but on the inner pages, namely page 2 and 3, there are no blue underlines at all. So we were wondering, are there no key points in there?
So this must mean this is not important.
No, it is important. What it means is that Jerry Falwell's word processor can't underline on inner pages, only on outer pages for some reason. They have one heck of a computer system, let me tell you that.
Do they?
Yeah.
And right now, we are fighting to make your voice heard in Washington, D.C., to let your representatives know how you feel about the corruption and immoral laws that are slowly destroying our country. But I have a problem. If we can't
Can we quote him on that?
Yeah.
Jerry Falwell, I have a problem. Okay, got it.
If we can't raise the funds we desperately need to continue our crusading work, our efforts to bring this country back to moral stability may be ended once and for all. That is why your support at this time is so vital to us. So I ask you, my friend, will you sacrifice $10, $25, $50, $100, or even more to help us continue our battle to inform, alert, register to vote, and mobilize the silent and moral millions of citizens in this nation?
Yes.
If you, as a member of Moral Majority, won't stand up for what is decent and good, who else will? Just look at what is happening in America today. Homosexual teachers who are flaunting perversion have invaded the classrooms of our schools and the pulpits of our churches. Smut peddlers sell their pornographic materials under the protection of the courts of our land. X-rated movies are allowed into almost every community because there is no legal definition of obscenity. Plans are being made now to invade the American homes with pornographic movies on cablevision. Can I just say something here?
Go ahead.
Did you ever see Jerry Falwell on cablevision?
Yes.
We are murdering approximately 1.5 million unborn babies every year through abortion. We are the first civilized nation in history to legalize abortion in the late months of pregnancy. Murder! The traditional monogamous family is at a 40% divorce rate. A drug epidemic is destroying boys and girls in our public schools. I tell you, my friend, the time to act is now. Tomorrow may be too late. And that's why I'm writing you this urgent letter today. We cannot allow the liberals to gain any ground in Congress. And I believe that the overwhelming majority of Americans feel the same way you and I do about this. This is one of the main reasons why I went to Washington, D.C. over 2 years ago and started this organization, Moral Majority. But Moral Majority will not survive unless decent Americans like you support our efforts now. You and I can no longer afford to be silent about the forces which are destroying the moral fiber of our nation. We must go into the halls of Congress and into the cities and towns across America and fight for laws that will bring this country back to moral sanity. The Moral Majority office is just a few blocks away from the nation's capital, and we have a highly trained professional staff ready to fight for the moral principles you and I would like to see restored. But believe you me, it takes a lot of money to operate an organization like this, and without your help, Moral Majority efforts and publications cannot do what should be done. We've already helped to defeat the ERA in a number of states, and now we're working hard to keep homosexuality from being accepted as an alternate lifestyle. And Moral Majority is making sure your legislators know how you feel about the burning issues threatening our country. Nothing gets the attention of your representatives more than a message from the people who can vote him into or out of office during the next election. We must continue to put on the heat. But our hands are tied without your immediate financial support, my friend. I promise you, your generous contribution will go towards fighting to restore America to the moral principles she was founded upon. She, it says.
She.
Perhaps you can send $10, $25, $50, or even $100 today. This would be a tremendous help. And in appreciation for your donation, I will send you three things, which I'm not going to read here. So please, don't delay. I need your answer and gift immediately. If Moral Majority is to speak up, we must do it now.
And speak up they are doing. Interesting, this envelope, I was looking at it a little bit, and it says in big, nasty letters, "Do not fold or bend this envelope." And it was kind of funny because when I got it, I saw that there's this little fold in the very corner, so somebody had defiantly just folded it there to say, so there too, you know. It only cost them 5 cents to mail it, you know that?
Bulk rate, right?
Yeah, apparently. Mm-hmm. A non-profit organization. But, yeah, they got that out.
5.9 cents.
5.9 cents. So, almost 6 cents.
I guess we should mention at this point that the views expressed herein are only those of the individuals expressing them.
Right.
Not
the individuals
station,
reading them or...
not the station, not the individuals reading them, or the station's licensee, the State University of New York.
The Albanian government?
Perhaps.
Or anyone else.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to reply. I mean...
Well, you should send him a gift.
He capitalizes certain words here, "for the sake of America." He capitalizes "forsaken America." That's FSA.
Hmm.
That also stands for the Faculty Student Association here on campus. I wonder, now maybe we're onto something here.
Yeah.
There could be some sort of a little code there.
There could be.
I'm going to look into that in the next week, just in my interviews with members of the Faculty Student Association, see if they are tied in with this at all.
Sure.
I have an ad here for the new Chrysler.
Oh.
Yeah. Chrysler 7565, they call this. At last, the modern car style for the modern age. Okay, it's the new Chrysler 65, they call it. The four-door sedan. You know what it's selling for?
Tell me.
$1,145.
Highway robbery.
The new Chrysler 6s, 65 and 75, are so far ahead from every point of view that Chrysler once more outmodes everything else that runs. For sheer artistry of design, for luxury of grooming, for behavior that out-Chryslers even Chrysler, for downright value at their lowest prices, Chrysler has once more wiped out every existing standard by which motor cars have been judged. At a single bold stroke, it has initiated the style that restyles all motor cars. Yeah.
Hmm.
The business coupe is $1,040.
Wait a minute. Is that coop or is that coup?
I'm not sure.
Is there a COUP or
COUPE? I think that's coupe.
Yeah.
The Roadster with rumble seat, $1,065. Two-door sedan, same price. Touring car, $10 more. A four-door sedan, $1,145.
Jeez.
Wow. All prices FOB Detroit. Wire wheels extra.
Oh.
Now, you might want to know why.
That's what I want to know. Why are wheels extra?
I don't know. No, wire wheels.
Oh, not wire wheels? Why are?
This comes from an edition of a publication called the American Mercury. Okay? And it's a monthly review.
It is?
Well, it was. It cost 50 cents with this copy that looks like more like a book than a magazine.
Jeez, now for the price of 2,200 of them, you could buy yourself a new Chrysler.
That's right. But this came out in September of 1928.
Hmm.
And here it is. I'm holding it in my hand now. And I guess we'll go back to this and read a couple of more things. There's some pretty interesting ads in here. Someday you will read this book, Death Comes for the Archbishop by Willa Cather, at all bookstores, 250, Alfred A. Knopf, publisher.
Hmm.
It's
That's quite an interesting
magazine. Why don't you read this advertisement for cigarettes on the back cover?
Oh, cigarettes. Sir Harry Lauder, international comedian, writes, "I've smoked Luckies for years, and all this time I've been active in my work, which demands a clear voice for singing and a good wind for dancing. And so I say to Sandy McGregor, it's always a bra bricked moonlight with moonlick nicked with Luckies. Hoot, man.
What's going on?
They dinna hurt my wind or throat." Of course, you can't understand what he's saying.
Was there any warning on the side of cigarettes then?
No. This is back in 1928.
I thought maybe somebody was on the ball back then. Well, organ music is really impressive in there, I think.
It's ominous. What's that you just put on the toilet turntable?
Oh, you'll find out when it comes on.
Ah.
But we have a special quiz coming up a little later. A quiz for people out there who might suffer from some compulsions of various sorts, psychoses, frustrations,
ooh,
that kind of thing.
Ooh.
Be asking you some questions, and you should be giving yourself the most honest answer that you can think of.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of psychoses and neuroses and that kind of thing, our good friend Barry Reagan has a very important public service message.
Good.
That I think applies to a lot of people.
Does that sound familiar to you? Hi, I'm Barry Reagan, and last year, over 8 million Americans fell victim to video addiction. Were you one? Take this simple test. Have you read How to Beat Pac-Man More Than Twice This Week? When you cash your paycheck, do you take it in quarters? Have you been unable to do your laundry this month because you've spent all your loose change? If you answered yes to these questions, don't panic, because now there's help. Video Addicts Anonymous is a nonprofit self-help corporation run by and for video addicts. People just like you. Remember, video addiction is a disease, not an illness. So if you think you might need us, jot down this number, 800-631-1146. That's 800-631-1146 for Video Addicts Anonymous. We're here to help. A public service announcement of the Advertising Council and this radio station.
Well,
yes, the weather sure is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good to just go into the water.
Yeah.
For a little while.
Yeah. Is this a lagoon or something we're in?
This is a Caribbean lagoon, in fact.
What happens if you play it at 78?
If you play it at 78, you move a lot faster. Speaking of April Foolish type stuff, am I saying that right?
Why don't we play that at 45? Like it should
okay,
be.
Put it back to 44. That's better. You were just fooled.
Yes, I certainly was.
And you can't deny it. You saw yesterday's copy of the student newspaper here on campus, Statesman, one of the student newspapers. And it said on the front cover,
extra.
President Warburger seeks Republican nomination for governor. Campaign starts early next week. Now, what really fools a lot of people about this article is that it says right in the middle of it, this special edition of this paper was put together early this morning after it was learned of University President John Warburger's decision to run for governor. Our annual April Fool's Day issue, scheduled to come out on Friday, was moved up a day for mechanical and financial reasons and appears on the inside pages of this edition. So they're saying right off the bat.
They're actually hinting that this is a for real story.
This is a for real story, and in fact, on the inside, it even gives a disclaimer saying the ads are real and the front page story is real, but everything else isn't. So, got quite a few people on that one. Last year, they came out with something that said the university was going to close.
Oh.
Yeah, because of financial restraints. And they got the quotes very well.
Uh-huh.
People said things exactly the way they would have said them.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm very shocked and dismayed to hear about this and so and so. It's done quite well. Have to hand it to people. Sometimes they can pull things off.
Sometimes.
I understand that the student newspaper at Hofstra, though, had some problems.
Oh?
And they put out an April Fool's issue that was it's controversial.
Oh?
That the dean for students herself went out and pulled them off the stands. I don't know any more details about it than that. It said some rather candid things about certain people that didn't want to have those things said about them.
Ooh.
But that's the way things are.
That was this year or last?
That was just a couple of days ago.
Oh.
I read it yesterday.
Oh. You read the paper?
Yes.
You found it?
I did find. No, I didn't read that paper. I read it in another paper.
Oh.
So.
What is that book you have there?
This book, well, this is what I'll be getting to a little later on with our quizzes for people.
Oh.
We've got quite a few questions to ask. Hopefully people will answer them as honestly as they can.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
It's so hot in this studio. Why are you wearing that heavy jacket, a sweater, and a flannel shirt?
And a lot of people ask me that question. Well, I don't really know why, but it's just the way things happen to work out.
Oh.
I mean, you're just wearing a T-shirt. That's,
And it's advertising a different radio station as well.
It's totally blank.
Wait till you see the other side.
Oh.
Listen to all those animules.
Yeah. Well, you know, this was the last day of school before the Easter break here at Stony Brook, so
it's very desolate around here now.
It certainly is. There's nobody on campus. So why don't you give us a call, 246-7901, and convince us that there's something out there. Off campus, on campus, whatever. Just don't leave us alone in any sort of isolation.
Don't you mess with Mr. In Between. Run and get the bucket, get the baby some beer, yeah. Run and get the bucket, get the baby some beer, yeah. Run and get the bucket, get the baby some beer, yeah. Run and get the bucket, get the baby some beer. Do anything in this dynamite world, you don't keep my kind of man home. Gingerbread man, Santa Claus. Gingerbread man, Santa Claus. Gingerbread man, Santa Claus. Gingerbread man with raisins for his eyes. I'm gonna eat him just as quick as I can.
What's more, I can always be alone. stranded in our city dreams. Ambition like a sifting screen on an old farm plow. Ah, you know that some love to love, some love to change. Some have to have their own free range, and some tear my heart all apart. But if love is just a step behind a dancing door circus mind, I leave my bed and I stumble through my rituals. I fight my mind, my memory falls. The things been said. Oh, I admit that I hold the words, I hold them tight. I've known colder comfort in the night. It's only time after all.
USB Rocks Patchogue with Peter Gabriel.
Who's You're in tune to the Voice of Long Island.
Ain't misbehaving the old Fats Waller tune.
Brings back memories, I know.
On the Voice of Long Island.
Brings back memories of the last time we played music like that.
Which was?
A few months ago.
Yeah.
But we do sort of go into this now and then.
Yes, and there's nothing wrong with that.
We can play any kind of music we want to play.
That's right.
Anything at all.
That's
whether
right.
it be Togo Chants.
Which we've done.
We have done that. We've played Iranian folk songs.
We've done that.
We play the Dead Kennedys sometimes.
We sometimes even play that Raji stuff.
Raji. Reggae.
Reggae.
Yeah.
That's what it was, yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah. We heard from Joe Pass in there. We heard from Peter Gabriel and Dub.
Yeah, we did do that, didn't we?
We heard from Farron and her new album.
Tell me something about her.
She's from British Columbia.
Uh-huh.
And this record was recorded a few years ago on Lucy Records. And then it was re-released on Philo just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we heard a tune called Almost Kissed from her album called Testimony. Farron, F-E-R-R-O-N.
Yeah, that album sort of jumps out at you and catches your attention.
It certainly does.
I like albums like that.
Because it's got a spring inside it, you see.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't.
12:58 we have here in Stony Brook.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 degrees is the official temperature. 43 in the Fahrenheit scale. Do you think spring is here, or is it just...
Yeah, I think so. Yesterday was a wonderful day.
Well, that's supposed
Too bad I was sick.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it's supposed to get really rainy tomorrow, I understand. We'll have a full weather forecast later, but I understand it's supposed to pour.
Yeah.
And be really cold again on... What's the next day? Sunday.
Sunday, that's right. And the day after that is Monday.
Yeah. Well, this reminder, the Long Island music community will take center stage on Saturday, April 24th, when USB hosts the 1982 Long Island Contemporary Music Conference.
Ooh!
Here at the State University at Stony Brook in the Union Building.
Ooh!
Now, this conference will be bringing together Long Island music media industry professionals and interested Long Islanders for a day-long seminar program.
Huh.
You're going to be there, Mike.
Yes.
I will be, too. Topics for discussion include commercial radio, print media, non-commercial radio, recording studios, record stores, musicians, and many others.
Ooh.
The forum will present an understanding and educational overview of our region's enormous contribution to the national and international music community.
Yeah.
Registration is $8 in advance, $10 at the door. If you'd like more information and conference registration forms, write to WUSB, SUNY at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794, or you can call up 246-7900 during regular business hours.
And you can also use that same telephone number to get yourself a copy of our new spring program guide. Outdated already. It's got lovely illustrations in green ink, and it's yours free. Just call us up at 516-246-7900 during regular business hours, or send a card or letter to WUSB, State University of New York, at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794.
And those program guides are a really handy thing to have, I think, because...
That's true. Even though they are outdated...
Well, they're not really outdated. There are a couple of changes, but I wouldn't say they're totally outdated. There's always a couple of changes.
That's true.
But I think it's awfully hard to keep track of all the things that go on at this station if you don't have some sort of a guide.
Right.
And we're willing to send it to you, so just give us your name. Oh, heck, you can even call us now.
Yes. 516-246-7901.
That's our telephone number.
Right.
And if you didn't get that, look it up. I don't mean to be nasty.
We're the voice of Long Island. We're going to continue with the music on the other side.
Yeah.
On the other side.
Oh, not this music. Oh, that's right. I'd be playing the sleeve if I did that.
You'd be playing the liner notes.
The liner notes. Okay, well, let's take it away.
Anything goes.
But now God knows anything goes. Good offers too, who once knew better words, now only used for letter words, writing prose. Anything goes. If driving fast cars you like, if low bars you like, if old hymns you like, if bare limbs you like, if Mae West you like, or me and Beth you like, why nobody will oppose. When every night the set that smart is intruding and nudist parties in studio, anything goes. When a Mrs. Ned McLean, God bless her, can get Russian red to yes, sir, then I suppose anything goes. When Rockefeller still can hoard enough money to let Matt Gordon produce his show, anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today, and black's white today, and day's night today, and that gent today, you gave a cent today, once had several chateaux.
When folks who still can ride in jitneys find out Vanderbilts and Whitneys lack baby clothes, anything goes. When Sam Goldwyn can with great conviction instruct Anna's then in diction, then Anna shows, anything goes. When you hear that Lady Mendel standing up, now does a handspring landing up on her toes, anything goes. Just think of those shocks you've got, and those knocks you've got, and those blues you've got from those news you've got, and those pains you've got, if any brains you've got from those little radios. So Mrs. R, with all her trimmings, can broadcast a bit from Simmons, cause Franklin knows anything goes.
Do you long for oolong like I long for oolong, baby? Do you long for oolong like I long for oolong, baby? Old man with a boot from a long tender shoe to rule on. Can you make tea for two and two for tea? Meet no more day. There'll be nobody near us, see or hear us. No relations on weekend vacations, we won't have it on. We own a telephone. Blues about a lot of dawn break. And you'll awake. Start to bake sugar cake just for me to take, so all the boys can see day. We will raise a family with a boy for you, a girl for me. Can't you see how happy we will be? Are you gone on Ceylon like I'm gone on Ceylon, baby? Are you gone on Ceylon like I'm gone on Ceylon, baby? Oh man, what a boot from a long tender shoot of Ceylon. But he's up to his eyeballs and T-balls. And best for nobody near him, see to hear him. No relations on weekend vacations, they've never been known to answer that telephone. Blues about a lot of dawn breaks. She awakes, still bakes those knockout cakes. They've never been tasted, but they're not wasted. They're so pretty to see. They started to raise a family, but the kids left home at the age of three, singing oolong, too much it had oolong. And now since the kids departed, the family is right where it started, back to tea for two.
Tea for two, and two for tea.
Yow.
Yow.
Good stuff there.
On WUSB Stony Brook.
We got the tripods coming up in a couple of minutes.
We certainly do. Well, in a few minutes anyway. In case you've never heard the tripods, it's well worth sticking around for. And the tripod family, one of the... What's the phrase again?
I think it's one of the most illustrious families on Long Island.
It's the adventures of them, and they end up in a lot of strange places.
I'll say. They ended up in the sewers of Nice, France once.
They certainly did. Oh, and by the way, if you want to catch up on some older episodes of the tripods, they are being repeated on Tuesday and Thursday nights
at around 10:15 p.m. on
each of our shows, my show on Tuesday and Mike's show on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to catch up on tripods, or if you want to listen to them again,
yeah,
then 10:15, approximately 10:15.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Tuesdays and Thursday nights.
Yeah,
but we have the new tripods coming
soon, I guess.
Yeah. What's going to happen in this episode? Did you check the liner notes?
No, I didn't. I've been pretty rushed all night long. The tape just came in last night, I believe, and I'm not really sure. I imagine it would have something to do with the election, with the campaign for town council.
Yeah, that's right. Kathy and what's...
Victor.
No, Victor. Victor's running for...
Victor's running for town council
town
now.
Council, yeah.
And, well, we'll see what happens. Mm. It looks like it might be a good episode. It had a little star in the box. And sometimes that means it's approved by somebody. I don't know who. Uh-huh. Someone in the bureaucracy.
Approved by Gary Pecorino.
Yeah, maybe Gary Pecorino approved it.
That could be.
Wow, that'd be great. That'd put a very positive note on things.
Okay, now you have a quiz there or something?
Yes.
Some cool thing.
Yes, I do. And if people out there would like to take a pencil and a sheet of paper... it can make things a lot easier for them, rather than trying to keep track of all the answers.
Okay.
Now, you can score 5 points for each yes answer here. All right. Now, this particular part of the quiz has to do with fetishes.
Ooh.
And I'd like to, you know, to have you look at some of this too, Mike.
Me? Are you going to be asking me these questions?
I suppose.
Ooh.
Well, some of them don't apply, I guess. Well, we'll see. Even though you live alone, have you been forced to buy a 14-room house because you need at least 13 rooms to store your collection of old bottle caps? Think about that one.
Remember, partial credit will be accepted.
Yeah. Have you given away all your slip-over sweaters because you can't figure out how to put one on without taking off your
hat?
Hmm. Let's see if there's anything else here. Do you hide spare rolls of string and chandeliers under beds and other secret places around your house just so you won't get caught short in case your wife finds your regular supply and throws it out? Something to think about here. There are other parts of this quiz, such as environmental adjustment. Are you uncomfortable even though you live alone on a desert island, because you probably have a lot of snoopy neighbors living in Honolulu, less than 1,300 miles away? Does it bother you that it's already tomorrow across the international date line, and that the people on the other side think you're doing what you're doing right now yesterday? No matter how often you sell your house and move, do you always wind up with whole families of communist spies living on both sides of you? When your phone rings, do you inform whoever is calling that they have the wrong number before they have the chance to pry into your personal affairs by saying something like, "Hello?" And while we're on the subject of telephones, there's a special section here that applies just to telephones. Do you sometimes wish that you had two phones with different numbers so you could call yourself up and have someone convivial to chat with?
Ooh.
Did you ever think of that, Mike?
That sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Have you been calling up wrong numbers and saying, "Guess who this is," for so long that they know who it is by now?
No.
Do you carry on long conversations with the girl on the phone who gives you the correct time, even though she seems to have a one-track mind that causes her to reply to everything you say by telling you what time it is? Is it your idea of a big time to call up every grocer in town and order huge quantities of food to be delivered to addresses that don't exist? I strike something there, Mike. After you've called everyone you can think of, do you while away many happy hours just sitting there listening to the dial tone? Sounds like this. Oh,
isn't that nice. A happy tone?
I think so.
What happens... No, we can't do that.
Oh, no, we certainly can't. I don't know what you're talking about, but we probably can't anyway.
Yeah.
Television psychosis. Now, I don't suffer from television psychosis.
Oh, I'm starting to. I just bought myself a TV.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've been watching Green Acres and Leave It to Beaver. I even watched Love American Style last night at about 1:30 in the morning.
They still do that, huh?
Yeah, on Channel 5.
Makes you think what things are going to be like in 10 years.
Yeah. That means we're
the only reason all these cable companies are opening up extra channels is because there's so many old shows now that they have to have different channels to repeat them on.
That could well be true, I guess. Well,
definitely. Why would anybody need 230 channels anyway, which is something that Cablevision has announced plans to...
What, Cablevision in
Well, the same Cablevision. They're maneuvering something out in Sacramento.
Oh.
And what they also want to do is make everybody's TV set a computer terminal.
Yeah.
That can do banking
mm-hmm.
by telephone lines and shopping, and can also communicate with anyone else who has the service.
Yeah, but, you know...
And get free movies, too. Not free movies, but...
This is a whole completely different thing altogether.
It certainly is.
Because, well, who wants, you know, really, who wants to go through all that trouble just to balance one's checkbook?
It is a lot of
getting a $600-$800 investment just to be able to not bounce checks anymore. Well, I guess for some people that's important.
You'd be amazed what people go through sometimes.
Was that the new chair that's making all those noises?
Yeah, the new chair is making some strange noises. We finally got new chairs here at the studio. Listen to that.
That's terrible.
That's awful. Yeah. But anyway, television psychosis.
Oh, yes.
All right, let me see what we can have here. Do you wish you had a TV set that could bring in all 13 channels at the same time so you wouldn't ever, ever, ever have to miss any show, no matter how lousy it was?
Hmm.
Sounds like you.
Yeah.
How many TV sets do you have in your house?
Just a couple.
Just a couple. Okay. Is the greatest thing you fear about a communist takeover the possibility that you might be sent to Siberia, which you understand is in a fringe reception area? Do you always wear your best suit while watching TV because you assume that the people on the screen can see you and you don't want to be considered a slob?
That's why you're wearing your best suit tonight.
Well, first of all, this is not my best suit. It's only a little sports jacket.
Yeah.
All right? And that is not the reason I'm wearing it.
Okay, I'll bite. What is the reason?
I want to impress you, I guess.
Here I am, all dressed up in white. I look like the Good Humor Man.
In a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Let me see if there's anything
You know what
else.
I...
Okay, go ahead.
Should mention at this point is I have this other white shirt that I... It's a regular shirt that I had on before. Took it off because it's so damn hot in this place. But I discovered one very important thing about doing one's laundry, and that's never...
Oh, no, don't ever do that.
Never hang a wet or, let's say, damp white shirt on a rusty coat hanger.
Coat hangers rust?
Yeah.
I've never come in contact with a rusty coat hanger. Maybe I was well-bred or something, but...
Could be.
I always thought coat hangers... I can't picture coat hangers rusting.
Well, they're metal, right? You've seen hangers for people's AM antennas
on their
car, right?
The reason I can't think of it is because in order to get rusty, something has to get wet first.
Mm-hmm.
And how the dickens are you going to get a coat hanger wet?
By putting a wet garment on it.
So,
repeatedly.
Okay. Oh, I see. So after repeated tries, the coat hanger finally rusted and then got even with the shirt.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
If anybody has a cure for that, when we're done talking, would you give us a call and tell me how I can get the rust stains out of my white shirt?
Yeah.
516-2426-790-7901.
It's our telephone. We should give our phone number straight out so people might
okay,
actually call.
Okay, I'll do it. It's 246-7901, and the area code is 516.
Yeah. So feel free to give us a call. The phone rings a little while. Don't worry, because we're talking.
Why don't you wait until we're done talking?
Well, yeah, that'd be the best thing.
Yeah.
But I got a couple of last ones here under the category of frustrations. Do you ever dream that you've just met a beautiful blonde and then get mad because the alarm clock goes off before you've had a chance to get her name and phone number?
Oh, that happens all the time. It never fails. Every time a good dream is coming along, I always roll out of bed and, you know, or something like that. Did you ever have a dream, like, when you're dreaming that you're being chased by criminals up on the roof of a building,
uh-huh.
and the next thing you know, you're peeling yourself up off the floor because you fell out of your bed?
I've never fallen out of bed.
Oh.
Maybe once.
Or,
maybe
you
once.
Know, or something like that. That usually happens.
Yeah, that's...
never happened for you,
that's,
huh?
That's known as bringing the dream closer to reality.
Yes.
This is a good one. Have you ever had the triumphant dream that you stalked and killed a Lifrimstrill.
Mm-hmm.
And then suffered a terrible letdown when you awoke and found it wasn't even listed in the dictionary.
A Lifrimstrill, huh?
Yeah. Let me see if there's any others here. Did you fly into a towering rage every time you watch Gunsmoke because Chester won't stop limping, no matter how many letters of protest you write to the network?
Shows how old this quiz is.
It is pretty old, and I guess I should reveal where it's from.
No, wait until we're done.
Have you stayed in your room with the door locked ever since you stepped on a crack in the sidewalk 2 years ago last summer? Do you have a lot of auto accidents because you're afraid that glancing at the road occasionally would cause you to lose count of the number of telephone poles you drive across? Oh, boy. When you receive an engraved invitation to a 5 o'clock cocktail party, do you show up at both 5 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. just to play it safe? Oh, boy.
Cute. Let me read off a few.
Okay.
It's a good little book here.
I like it.
Now, is there anything... let's see.
Are we going to tell the folks what kind of book it is, and you want to go through a couple?
Let's see. Did we do the inferiority complexes?
I don't think so.
Are you humiliated beyond all reason because... Oh, this is talking about an ink blot.
Well, okay, there's an ink blot there. So
yes.
We can read that.
Are you humiliated beyond all reason because the ink blot above looks nothing more than an ink blot to you while you think that we think that you should think it looks like sex? Are you afraid that you will be blamed for spilling the ink that made the blot and that shortly you'll be sending someone out to hit you for it? Oh, boy.
Well, I hope folks out there have been keeping score.
Yeah.
Because this does matter.
Yeah. Let's see.
A high score indicates...
Are you now working on two jobs, one day and one night, just so you can make more money to buy Mom some of the nice things that your rotten, no-good father always denied her? Do you cry yourself to sleep every night because the way your wife tucks you in and gives you your blanket to cuddle is not quite as comforting as the way your mom used to do it?
This is the mom section, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, here's one that you should be interested in.
Okay.
Did you do environmental adjustment?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did.
Well, I didn't do all the questions.
No. No matter how often you sell your house and move, do you always wind up...
Yeah. With communist spies on either side.
I know people who've done things like that. That's a good little quiz book here.
And it comes from a book called...
Burning
Mad. Burning Mad. It's one of those mad books that was around.
With Alfred E. Newman on the cover.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good stuff in here. Let me see if I can find a year. Oh, yes, 1968 this came out.
Oh.
That's pretty old.
That's the same year that the Smith Haven Mall came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was released to the public.
Yeah. Didn't you ever look at the Cornerstone? Do you remember when they opened that up?
No, I don't.
I do.
I lived in Fort Jefferson at the time. And
so did I.
I didn't know where it was. That's right. I didn't know where it was, and I kept asking people, where is it? And all they could say was, you don't know where it is? And they never told me where it was, so 2 years later, I finally found it.
At the very beginning, before they got all those little shops in there, what they did was just Macy's and, on the other side, A&S.
And they had buttons.
Buttons?
Yeah, people used to wear buttons saying, I like Macy's, and then little letters that said, next to A&S, and then they had buttons that said the vice versa.
I didn't know that.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
No, actually, since there was this big expanse of empty space where they hadn't completed the stores yet, they used to have these little jitneys that would run from one end of the mall to the other.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. I used to ride on them. It was really neat.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Little jitneys in the Smith Haven Mall.
Mall history for you.
Yeah. Did you ever go mauling?
No comment on that one. Mauling, huh?
Yeah.
I guess that's a popular sport out there. Well, we have more statistics for you.
Oh, yeah, this is for real. Now, these came from the New York Times of...
New York Times, Sunday, July 26, 1981.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is a comparison of what military spending means in real money.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, let's pick a good one here. Okay, the cruise missile programs cost $11 billion. All right? With that $11 billion, that could mean the cost of bringing the annual rate of investment in public works to the 1965 level. The cost of two B-1 bombers, $400 million, is equal to the cost of rebuilding Cleveland's water supply system.
Hmm.
The Navy's F-18 fighter program, the cost of $34 billion, is equivalent to the cost of modernizing America's machine tool stock to bring it to the average level of Japan's. Let me see what we have here. The cost overrun to 1981 on the Navy's Aegis cruiser program, which runs $8.4 billion, is equivalent to the comprehensive research and development effort needed to produce 80 to 100 mile per gallon cars. That's a lot of money we're talking about.
Talking about cost overruns so far, well, to 1981, on Navy frigates.
Frigates?
Frigates. It's about $5 billion, equals the minimum additional annual investment needed to prevent water pollution in the United States from exceeding present standards. The cost of one F-15A airplane, or $29 million, is the cost of training 200 engineers to design and produce electric trolleys in the United States.
Hey,
yeah,
we need more electric trolleys. I don't see people in the streets demonstrating for electric trolleys anymore.
That's true. That's very true. One nuclear attack submarine.
Oh, boy.
Roughly $582 million is the cost of 100 miles of electrified railroad right-of-way.
How about that? They can electrify the entire Long Island Railroad for one nuclear sub.
Hmm.
Think about that when they launch the Trident again.
Yeah. That's true. Cost of 10 B-1 bombers, or $2 billion, is equal to the cost of dredging 6 Gulf Coast and Atlantic Coast harbors to handle 150,000-ton cargo vessels.
Hmm.
These are very interesting figures. What makes you bring this in today?
Oh, I don't know.
From July 1981.
Everyone's thinking about defense spending and money and human needs.
How about the cost overrun to 1981 of the Army's UH-60A helicopter program, $4.7 billion.
Carl Sagan would like that.
Equals the annual capital investment for restoring New York City's roads, bridges, aqueducts, subways, and buses.
Restoring them to what?
I don't know.
Usefulness, I guess. Aqueducts?
Yeah.
Where are the aqueducts of New York?
It's a little racetrack. I don't know. Are there any aqueducts?
Well, I think of aqueducts as
bridges that carry water.
Right. I don't know of any in New York. Maybe they mean something else. Maybe something underground.
Maybe they mean viaducts that have water pipes on them.
Maybe they're the things that are always breaking and spilling water hither and yon, you know.
Hmm.
Well, why don't you give us one clincher, and then we'll go into some music and go into the tripods after that.
Oh, the tripods, they're coming. Yes.
This better be good, Mike.
Okay. Let me pick out a good one here. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum.
Just waiting for Mike to pick out a good one. That's what we're doing.
The cost of unjustified non-combat Pentagon aircraft. I guess, I don't know what that means. Probably the general's private jets and stuff like that.
Non-justified.
Hmm. $6.8 billion equals 6 years of capital investment that is needed to rehabilitate New York City transit.
Well,
give us a call at 516-246-7901, and we'll take your name and address, and we'll send you out a program guide, or we'd like to hear your comments on these findings and all sorts of other things. Anything we can do for you, give us a call.
Yeah. We laid the cards on the table and gave you facts and a quiz and all sorts of other things. We'd like to hear from you. But do it now. You don't want to miss the tripods are coming up in just a few minutes on The Voice of Long Island.
Radio Free Long Island and Cold Dehydration with the Three Villains Tobacco Farms proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. As we look in on our friends today, we see them on a rainy Saturday morning in their Long Island home, and as we look in, we hear Kathy's.
Oh, what a dreadful day! Why, I haven't seen rain like this in years.
Seems to rain a heck of a lot more here on Long Island than it did in Big Bear City.
And don't forget the temperature. My goodness, it's like taking a cold shower when you go outside.
Well, fortunately, we can all stay inside today. Clean up the house, watch a little television.
No. Don't you remember today's the day I promised Victor that I'd go around the neighborhood campaigning for him?
Oh, come on, Kathy. You can't go outside knocking on people's doors in a day like this. You'll catch pneumonia.
Yeah, but I made a commitment, and I have to stick by it. Now, if I don't start rounding up some votes this weekend, Victor may lose any chance to get elected to the town council. You know, the primary's coming up real soon.
Well, that may be, but I don't think you should be out gallivanting in this kind of weather. Look at it. It's coming down in sheets.
That's the difference between you and me, Howard. When I promise somebody something, I go out of my way to keep that promise.
I don't like what you're implying. Well, I keep my promises, too, but I don't kill myself over them.
Oh, Howard, come on. Be sensible. It's only rain. I'm not killing myself.
Why can't you do this over the telephone? Can you at least answer me that?
Would you mind telling me how I'm going to get these petitions signed over the telephone?
Speak of the devil.
What a funny coincidence. You know, that must be the moon or something.
Yeah.
That's the third time this week something like this has happened to me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the store yesterday over in the frozen food section when suddenly...
Why don't you tell me this later, Kathy? Whoever that is going to hang up.
Oh, you're right. Let me get it. Hello? Oh, hi!
Oh, good morning, Pop.
Look at the hogwash, Howard. This is the most miserable morning I've seen in a long time. Confound it. I always get aches when it rains. And today I'm getting them in places I never had aches before.
Well, that's Long Island weather for you, Pop.
Never had any of this God-blessed weather in Big Bear City, that's all I know. Hey, did anybody get the mail yet?
No, I saw it come a few minutes ago. I was going to go out.
No, I'll get it. I'm expecting a letter from my cousin in Togo.
Oh, okay.
I'll be right back.
Kathy, is this orange juice any good? You've had it sitting on the counter all morning. Kathy? Yoo-hoo, can you hear me? Who is that you're talking to? Can you at least answer me?
Oh, boy, look at all this mail we got.
Wow, what have you got there?
Oh, it looks like mostly junk mail, as usual.
Yeah, this is for you, Pop. It's a bill from the Book of the Week Club.
Confound it, not again. When are these people gonna leave me alone?
Here's something with an overseas stamp. I wonder what this could be.
Oh, the mail. Anything for me?
Oh, you're finally off the phone, Kathy. Who was that?
That was Victor. We were discussing the election plans. He wants me to come over to his house so that we can make things more specific. What's that letter?
I was just opening it. It's got a European postmark. What could it be?
Oh, it's from Uncle Jonathan.
So it is.
Well, what does it say, Howard?
It says, Dear folks on Long Island, hi. You're probably wondering what's going on with the film you starred in. I'm trying to sell it to a European distributor, but so far, no luck. We'll keep you posted. Signed, Uncle Jonathan.
I don't know if that's good news or bad.
Neither do I. I sure hope the residuals for that film start coming in at some point.
We could sure use the money.
That's for sure. Pop, what's that you've got?
A letter from the Navy. I don't believe it. They want me to enlist.
And so the Tripods talk of politics and weather on a rainy Saturday morning. You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Pop say...
It is not a mistake!
That's next week on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, a co-presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka. Bathroom.
can't get up the nerve to kiss you. Not the way I kiss you in my dream. I can't make up my mind to leave my fears behind and try to carry out my scheme. I spend an hour each day rehearsing what to say, but practice doesn't pay, it seems. I can't get up the nerve to kiss you, baby. Not the way I kiss you in my dreams. Doesn't pay, it seems. I can't get up the nerve to kiss you, baby. Not the way I kiss you in my dreams. Not the way I kiss you in my dreams.
Haven't performed together in 31 years, but they still remember the chart. I'm Paul Anthony. Please join me when Jazz Alive visits the first San Francisco International K-Jazz Festival for the reunion of the Dave Brubeck Trio with Ron Crotty and Cal Jader, plus an astonishing new jazz voice, Bobby McFerrin. Return of the Modern Jazz Quartet. San Francisco on NPR's Jazz Alive.
That's later on tonight at about 10 o'clock p.m.
It's Jazz Alive, part of USB's Radio Free Weekend. And it is made possible in part through funding by the Graduate Student Organization right here on the campus of the State University of New York at Stony Brook.
We heard from the Joe Mooney Quartet, I Can't Get Up the Nerve to Kiss You, here on USB, the voice of Long Island, a record called Jazz and Revolution, the Big Bands in the 1940s. And I guess we'll change the pace just a little bit.
We're going to go to a folk legacy record here?
Yeah, we're going to hear from a record called the 5 Days Singing, Volume 2. And a track called Rolling Home.
Mm-hmm. happy times we've spent together. Happy times we spent with you. Rolling home, rolling home, rolling home across the sea. Rolling home to old New England. Rolling home, dear land to thee. Round Cape Horn one frosty morning, and our sails were full of snow. Clear your sheets and sway your halyards. Swing her out and let her go. Rolling home, rolling home, rolling home across the sea. Rolling home. Blows a wild and rushing gale, like a monsoon in the springtime, filling out each well-known sail. Rolling home, rolling home, rolling home across the sea. Rolling home. Murmur as they flow. There's a hearty welcome waiting in the land to which you go. Rolling home, rolling home, rolling home across the sea. Rolling home. Many thousand miles before, ocean lifts her winds to bring us to that well-remembered shore. Rolling home, rolling home, rolling home across the sea. Rolling home.
It's of a fair maiden who lived all alone on the shore. Oh, there was naught she could find to comfort her mind, but walk all alone on the shore, shore, but walk all alone on the shore. It's of a sea captain who plowed the salt sea, and the seas were fine, calm, and clear. Oh, this beautiful damsel he chanced for to spy, a-walking alone on the shore, shore, a-walking alone on the shore. Oh, what will I give to my sailor so bold? 10 guineas I vow and declare, oh, If you'll fetch me that damsel on board of my ship that's walking alone on the shore, shore, walking alone on the shore. So the sailors, they got out a very long boat, and straight for the shore they did steer, oh. Saying, ma'am, if you please, will you enter on board to view a fine cargo of ware, ware, to view a fine cargo of ware. After much persuasion, they got her on board. Seas were fine, calm, and clear, oh. And she sat herself down in the stern of the boat, and straight for the ship they did steer, steer, straight for the ship they did steer. When they arrived alongside of the ship, the captain he lowered a chair, oh. Saying, first you must sleep in my arms all this night, and next we'll be married, my dear, dear, and next we'll be married, my dear. She sat herself down in the stern of the ship and began the singing so clear, oh. She sang so sweet, so neat and complete. She sang sailors and captain to sleep, sleep. She sang sailors and captain to sleep. She robbed them of silver, she robbed them of gold. She robbed them of fine, costly ware, oh. Then the captain's broad sword she took for an oar, and paddled herself to the shore, shore, and paddled herself to the shore. When the captain awoke and found she was gone, he was like a man in despair, oh. Then he called for his men to command him a boat to row him away to the shore, shore, to row him away to the shore. Oh, were my men drunk or were my men blind? Were they lost in deep despair, oh? When you robbed them all and myself likewise, and paddled yourself to the shore, shore, and rowed yourself back to the shore. Your men were not sick and your men were not blind, nor lost in deep despair, oh. But I robbed them all and myself likewise, and now I'm a maid on the shore, shore, once again I'm a maid on the
shore. Oh, the blues ain't nothing but a good man feeling bad. Oh, that's a feeling that I've often had. You can call the blues, you can call the blues any old thing you please. You can call the blues any old thing you please. But the blues ain't nothing but the chalk on heart disease. When a man gets blue, when a man gets blue, he takes a train and rides. When a man gets blue, he takes a train and rides. moment gets blue, she hangs a little head and cries. I'm gonna lay my head down on some railroad line. I'm gonna lay my head down on some railroad line. Let the Santa Fe try to pacify my mind.
That's a fellow called George O'Connor doing a song known as Nigger Blues, written by Leroy Lassus White. And George O'Connor does the vocals, unknown trumpets, trombone, tuba, and clarinet. And we do know there are simulated train noises in there. Came from a record called Let's Get Loose, folk and popular blues styles from the beginnings to the early 1940s. And before that we heard Made on the Shore, M-A-I-D, from Joe Hickerson, who did vocals and guitar on that one. Joe Hickerson has been a constant and true friend to the Fox Hollow Festival, which is what that was a recording from. He's encouraged, inspired many people, generously shared his music, and you can catch more music from him on Folk Legacy Records. And up on top, Rolling Home, from a compilation called 5 Days Singing, featuring the Armstrongs, Becky Armstrong, George Armstrong, Jerry, Jenny, and oh, just hundreds of people. It's really hard to name them all. It's recorded and edited by Sandy Patton, and on Folk Legacy Records once again.
That's Patton.
Patton, I'm sorry. Where is my mind? From Sharon, Connecticut. Yeah, that's there are liner notes on this record, and Sharon, Connecticut is where they were written from. Well, if you like that kind of traditional folk and bluesy type stuff, there are lots of programs that we feature throughout the week that do nothing but that kind of music. For instance, Monday nights from 7 to 9 p.m., you can hear traditional folk with Bob Williams. And on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9, you can catch the Blues Show with Mike Bifocal. And Thursday mornings from 10 a.m. until noon, it's more traditional folk with Steve Sanfilippo. And then Thursday nights from 7 to 9, it's the oldest traditional folk show on this radio station. It's been around since before we went on the air. We'll explain that sometime, with Jerry DeLisle, traditional music from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursdays. And plus, many of us play traditional music whenever we feel like it, so you can always tune into USB and hear some good stuff like that. Well, it's 1:55 in the morning, and this is the voice of Long Island. I'm Eric Corley, and I guess Mike Juhas is just stepping in.
Yeah, I'm here.
You have the news, Mike.
Yes. We'll start off with saying dozens of tornadoes hopscotched through the Midwest and South Friday, killing at least 22 people in Texas, Arkansas, and Missouri. In northeast Texas, a twister cut a wide path through the city of Paris, where at least 7 deaths and 115 injuries are reported. At least 100 houses are said to have been destroyed, and a police officer says the city's run out of water. 3 dozen twisters also were reported in states from the Mississippi Valley to the Great Plains. The White House calls the unemployment figures for March disappointing. The government reported Friday that the unemployment rate rose to 9% last month. That translates to nearly 10 million people out of work, and it equals the highest levels in 40 years. President Reagan is expected to discuss the problem in his first of a series of radio addresses on Saturday. A published report says Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev might be in a hospital suffering from a stroke. The Washington Post says well-informed sources report Brezhnev was taken from his plane on a stretcher when he returned to Moscow from Tashkent last Sunday. They also say the 75-year-old leader suffered a mild heart attack in February.
Well, tensions in El Salvador between the rightists and the Christian Democrats are expected to increase. No coalitions to lead a constituent assembly have been formed, and there's no power-sharing agreement yet. The Christian Democrats fell short of a majority in last Sunday's elections. The rightists finished second, but formed a caucus they say could lead to a coalition government. The Guatemalan army reports leftist guerrillas attacked a village, slit the throats of 12 peasants, and set their bodies on fire. The deaths could not be verified independently. The Navy is searching the Mediterranean Sea for a missing cargo plane carrying 7 passengers and 4 crew members. It's believed the C-1A went down in the sea. It was flying from the carrier Dwight D. Eisenhower to the island of Crete. An Agriculture Department entomologist reports several dozen moths traveling with the Columbia astronauts are alive and appear well. The moths were sent to space to study their reaction to weightlessness. And in New York City, crossed phone lines interrupted a Flash Gordon movie on HBO with the voice of a woman who was taking orders for shirts. 50,000 cable customers Thursday heard a character in the film appropriately respond negative, negative, when the woman asked if the problem was fixed yet. The order taker also sings on the side, so when she realized the lines were fouled up, she broke into a tune from the show Cabaret. The problem was corrected.
We do have a couple of NBA scores for you, finals. Utah Jazz, 127. Kansas City Kings, 118. Denver Nuggets, 127. And the Portland Trail Blazers, 121. Eric?
Currently 7 degrees here in Stony Brook. That's 45 on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting it to cloud up towards morning. Lows will be around 35 to 40. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness, showers developing towards midday. Highs will be around 45 to 50, and there's even the chance of a thunderstorm later on in the afternoon, so watch out for that. It's going to be kind of windy, too. Clearing and cool towards night, lows 35 to 40. Sunday, variable cloudiness, remaining windy and quite cool. Highs only in the 40s. What's that noise?
It's a foghorn.
I might have guessed. 2 o'clock straight up.
We have a special report from Bunky and Spunky.
On WUSB Stony Brook. And we'll be back with our album side right after this important message.
New York! Paris! Tijuana!
Tokyo!
Wine Dance!
It's all here and it's all true!
Hi, gang! Welcome to another edition of the award-winning Bunky and Spunky Report. Tonight our topic is a serious problem that has only recently surfaced in the media. Drunk drawing! There are thousands, maybe even millions of artists out there drinking and drawing every day. These poor unfortunates can't even walk a straight line, much less draw one. Yet they continue going wherever these drunken frenzies take them and try to draw. Why, some even sprawl out on the sidewalk or in the middle of traffic. As you can guess, they're a hazard to themselves as well as others. Did you know that over 95% of all pen-related injuries in the U.S. are caused by drunk driving? And that's only the tip of the iceberg. and you can't take away the drunk's sketch pad and pens thinking all is well. They get really sly and hide their art supplies all over the place. So if you spot someone who's obviously drunk drawing, report him right away to the Coast Guard. He'll thank you later. Well, that's all for now, folks.
Did he say report him to the Coast Guard?
That's what he said.
That's what I thought.
Well, that's all from Bucky and Spunky for tonight.
Right.
And that is quite a problem, yeah. Drunk drawing.
Drunk drawing.
Yeah. One minute after 2 o'clock, which happens to be the...
Area code for New Jersey. Northern New Jersey.
It's 2 minutes after 2 o'clock now.
Oh, Washington, D.C. We're going to start this again.
Well, last time we went pretty far.
What, did we get to North Dakota?
I think so,
yeah.
But we won't go that far this time.
Yeah.
We have our album side, and this one goes back to 1967. Yeah. All right, how many years ago is that? This is 1982.
Wow, 13 years ago. 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, 15 years ago.
Golly.
That's a long time.
Check
Seems
that
a
out.
Long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does. Well.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like a nut.
Yeah. Now, we have this record here that's called Relics. And it's kind of a compilation of a bunch of songs that came out by this group that at that time was known as kind of an avant-garde band.
Mm.
And not known to that many people.
Today they are. Today they're quite, let's say, popular.
Yeah, superstars.
Superstars.
Rock and roll superstars. But back then they were totally different, and that's,
mm-hmm.
that's why the two of us think it would be really interesting just to listen to this and say, gee.
Well, should we say who it is?
Yeah, I think we should. Band is called Pink Floyd.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, but this is 1967, and I don't think you've ever heard anything like this. We're going to hear...
What are the songs? What are
five
the songs?
Songs, starting with Arnold Lane, kind of a Beatle-ish type thing. Interstellar Overdrive, which I think you'll find one of the strangest tunes you've ever heard. It's an instrumental.
Mm.
Rather long, too.
Ooh.
See Emily Play, which is probably the only song on this entire record that anyone would recognize after time. See Emily Play was also done by David Bowie.
Ooh.
In later years. Remember a Day and Paintbox. All these were recorded in 1967. And the first three featured Sid Barrett, who was the other member of Pink Floyd.
Huh.
Who ended up in a lunatic asylum, I believe.
Yeah.
So we'll be hearing this right now on The Voice
of Long Island.
A nasty storm. family tries but misunderstands. She's something inclined to borrow somebody's dreams till tomorrow. There is no other name.
Yes, we're back on the Voice of Long Island, and how come I can't hear myself? Can you hear yourself?
I'm not talking, but...
Oh, I can hear you. I can't hardly hear myself. There we go.
Ah, that's better. I hear myself all distorted in my own ears.
That's true. Well, what's wrong with that every now and again, you know?
No, it's good to hear the way other people hear you. So
that's true. Let's see. It's probably these headphones. There. Can you hear yourself now?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
What did you do? Hit it on the side?
Yeah.
That's the best thing to do sometimes.
I just went bang, and it went... Who cares? Nobody wants to know about the headphones.
No one cares.
228, 7 degrees Celsius, that's 46 Fahrenheit.
I'll tell you what they do want to know. They do want to know what that great music was they just heard for the last 23 minutes or so.
Yeah.
It was an album slide from 1967, Pink Floyd and Relics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they don't make albums like that anymore.
They certainly don't.
Unless they repackage them. And
good thing, too.
Up the price a little bit.
Yeah.
Her Arnold Lane, Interstellar Overdrive, CMLE Play, Remember a Day, and Paintbox. All produced by Norman Smith.
When I first came to Brookhaven Town, way hey, 90.1, there was no good music to be heard around. Way hey, 90.1. Then one day I turned on the dial. Way hey, 90.1. There I found music to make me smile. Way hey, 90.1. I waited for a legal ID.
Way hey, 90.1.
The DJ said WUSB.
Way hey, 90.1.
They start each day with the rising sun.
Way hey, 90.1.
Don't ever finish till after day is done.
Way hey, 90.1.
So if you want good music to hear.
Way hey, 90.1.
There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear.
Way Hey 90.1.
So if you like the sounds, do take a look.
Way Hey 90.1.
At WUSB Stony Brook.
Way Hey, hey, hey.
We just can't keep that group down. They come in here every now and again. They just start singing that sea chanty.
They have to, you know, have their say, and then they leave, and you don't see them again for a while.
That's true.
But sometimes they come back. Sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. This time they won't.
They better not.
When I first came...
Get out. Thank you.
Well, we should play that in dub or backwards or something. Do something to it. Anyway,
what is it? It's about 2:30.
It's exactly 2:30. You know, I am very tired. I might just go home.
Why don't you just get out of here?
Okay. I'm going to go home and I'm going to go to sleep.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right.
No one will know the difference.
You're right.
going back to the 50s here on The Voice at 2:39 in the morning. Well, Mike Juhas is currently on the road somewhere. We'll be hearing a report from him in a little while. Something I'd like to bring up that I've noticed in a couple of magazines, and those are these ads from the Tobacco Institute. And they're ads that bring up answers to the most asked questions about cigarettes. Now, one question is, does cigarette advertising cause kids to start smoking? Well, there's a whole two-page ad in last week's Time magazine that addresses that issue. And they say that advertising certainly is not the culprit. So if advertising doesn't cause kids to smoke, what does? Well, they say there are no pat answers. Research by experts indicate peer pressure is important, as well as many other complex psychological, cultural, and socioeconomic factors. There may be as many reasons why as there are kids who do. While cigarette industry sales are increasing, fewer teenagers are smoking, according to this. For example, the American Cancer Society reports that among young women, smoking has decreased 17% since 1974. It's interesting. This is one ad. I wasn't able to find another one that was a bit more interesting because it addressed the question of whether or not people should be allowed to smoke in public places, such as elevators and restaurants. And the ad addressed such ideas as negative thinking, telling people not to do something in a place where they supposedly have the right to do that. It just caught my attention. Maybe next week I'll be able to bring that in. We can talk about it some more. But this leads to something else from a Kurt Vonnegut book. I love reading Kurt Vonnegut, especially out loud. This is from a book called Welcome to the Monkey House, and it addresses this question, too, concerning smoking. It says, my sister smoked too much. My father smoked too much. My mother smoked too much. I smoked too much. My brother used to smoke too much, and then he gave it up, which was a miracle on the order of the loaves and fishes. And one time, a pretty girl came up to me at a cocktail party, and she asked me, what are you doing these days? I am committing suicide by cigarette, I replied. She thought that was reasonably funny. I didn't. I thought it was hideous that I should scorn life that much, sucking away on cancer sticks. My brand is Pall Mall. The authentic suicides ask for Pall Malls. The dilettantes ask for Pall Mells. I have a relative who is secretly writing a history of parts of my family. He has showed me some of it, and he told me this about my grandfather, the architect. He died in his 40s, and I think he was just as glad to be out of it. By it, of course, he meant life in Indianapolis, and there is that yellow streak about life in me, too. The public health authorities never mention the main reason many Americans have for smoking heavily, which is that smoking is a fairly sure, fairly honorable form of suicide. There's another paragraph towards the end of this, which is the preface to a collection of short stories, where he says, it is disgraceful that I should have ever wanted out of it, and I don't want out anymore. I have 6 children, 3 of my own and 3 of my sister's. They've turned out gloriously. My first marriage worked and continues to work, and my wife is still beautiful. Something to think about next time you light up one of those little white things. So many people seem to do it, and so few seem to really enjoy it. Well, it's 2:44 in the morning.
and this is the voice of Long Island. Our telephone number is 246-7901. If you'd like to request a program guide, we'll send it out to you. By this time, Mike Juhasz should be almost home, and we'll be hearing from him shortly.
This is Jane Goldberg from Tribute. On Monday, April 5th, the topic of my show, agoraphobia. I'll be speaking with Hilda Perlowin, director of TerApp Long Island, and Marsha Wagman, a former agoraphobic. Don't forget, Tribute, Monday, April 5th, 2 to 2:30 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
And that's every Sunday at 2 o'clock right here on USB. It's 2:47 or 13 minutes to 3, whichever you prefer. I think Mike Juhasz has just gotten home. Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Here I am.
Wow. I hear your voice coming from somewhere. I don't know where.
Well, I'll never tell where I am.
That's good. No one really wants to know. No, only kidding.
No, I'll tell you one thing. I'm just chewing a brownie here, so.
Really?
Pretty tasty, too, yeah.
One of those homemade brownies?
Mm.
Oh, they have the nuts on top?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you ever have one of those big ones where you need two hands to pick it up?
Yeah, well, actually, this is small.
Is it brown? Is it more brown or blackish?
This really isn't your traditional brownie. It's from those Toll House brownies. Have you ever heard of them?
Toll House brownies?
Yeah.
They have them in toll booths, I hear.
That's true. Hang on a second, okay?
Okay. Oh. It appeared Mike has dropped the phone.
Hello?
Are you still there?
Yes, I am. Just had to take my coat off. It's hot up here. Oh, there's our theme in the background.
Yeah.
These aren't your traditional brownies. They're what they call these Toll House brownies.
Uh-huh.
They're just like Toll House cookies, except...
They're not cookies, they're brownies.
Got it, precisely.
Well, now, describe the color on the top. Is it a darkish brown, lightish brown, almost white?
Actually, it's more towards your beige.
Beige, yeah, that's what I suspected.
Tan or a deep tan, as in being down in Florida for a week or two.
All right, now the next thing I want to know is, are they crunchy or are they sort of squishy in your mouth?
They're squishy.
Oh, that's good.
Except
that's good.
The chocolate chips, they're crunchy.
But they provide sort of a contrast to the rest of it.
They do. They certainly do. They're dark. They're very deep.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen a light chocolate chip.
Oh, no, they haven't.
Really?
Peanut butter chips, too.
Peanut butter chips?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like a mixture of...
Well, I guess it takes all types in this world. I don't know. There's some things I'll just never catch up to. But that's a young society for you.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you should mention... Mike, you are probably getting home right about now. Because I was turning right into my driveway just as you were saying that.
I knew that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I had that homing device.
That's right. We have a map of you right here. There's a little light beeping and everything.
Yeah. So what do you got planned for the rest of the show?
Well, I figured I'll maybe talk to someone on the phone like you and then play some music and go to our theme later on, which is exactly the same as this. And then
such a great tune, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's really fantastic.
Yeah.
It thinks it's fantastic too, and it's trying to drown the atmosphere. Oh, go back. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry about that. It gets carried away sometimes.
It certainly does. Well, listen. Actually, I got a request.
Okay.
A week or two ago, or three ago, we kind of did some dub. One of our famous dub sessions, you know.
Yeah, our infamous dub
take
sessions.
The instrumental. B-sides of many of the reggae-type singles and just create all sorts of sound effects with them and such.
Thank you.
What I did was, it was one... You familiar with that Raiders of the Lost Dub album?
Raiders of the Lost Dub.
Yeah, it's a compilation. It's a compilation of all these dub versions of different tunes. There's a couple of Black Uhuru tunes on there. And one of my favorite... Hey, you're not going to dub it tonight, are you?
I wouldn't do a thing like that, would I?
Would you dub anything? You wouldn't actually stoop so low as to dub a telephone call, would you?
Of course not.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Makes you think I'd do a thing like that.
I don't know, Eric. But anyway, we loved it. That time. It sounded really good. But I really haven't heard what it sounds like. Particularly to my thinking of.
You want to hear it without the dub effects, in other words.
Right. Now, the particular tune I'm thinking of is...
That could probably be a ring. If we, work at it a little bit.
Yes, I'm thinking of this gentleman, Junior Delgado.
Wow, it's funny you should mention that. It's ready to play that very song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I'm just going to hang up and say goodbye.
Okay.
And I'll be back again with you next week at the same time.
We'll be saying goodbye again at the same time. We'll be starting off at about midnight.
That's very true.
Friday night, Saturday morning.
We'll start off at midnight. I'll be back again Thursday night at 9. You'll be back Tuesday night at 9, right?
Tuesday night at 10, actually, after bandstand.
Oh, yeah. What's new on this week's bandstand?
I'm not certain, but Dana Penny will have some really good things for us to listen to.
That's very interesting.
And, of course, we've got the Tripod repeats Tuesday and Thursday nights, 10:15.
That's right. That's very true. And that was very good that you showed me that little magazine that shows Kathy Tripod falling down.
Yeah, one of our listeners has a magazine that on the back cover has a picture of Kathy Tripod exactly the way I would picture her falling down. Oh, that's really beautiful.
I wouldn't picture her too much far from that. Well, listen, it's 2:51 according to my clock here.
2:52 over here. I guess we're ahead of you.
That's true. It's a different time zone.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm just going to hang up, and if you have that Junior Delgado thing, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, okay, I'll see if I can push the button here and make it play.
Not the dub version, too.
No, I will not dub it. I promise.
Well,
goodbye, Mike. Uh-oh. That was Mike Uhas, and he'll be back next week. Right now, though, let's hear the song that he wanted to hear so much.
Mm-hmm. jump the back.
As always, it's been a real treat being here, and we've gotten quite a few interesting people to call up this week from all over the island, and Connecticut too. Well, we didn't get anyone from Connecticut tonight, but we know they're out there, and Westchester, and the Bronx, and all those magical places. We'll be back again next week with the Voice of Long Island, starting at around 12.02 a.m. For Mike Juhas, this is Eric Corley. I'd like to wish you all a very good night. I'd like to wish Mike a very good night. Good night, Mike. Next week. Bye.
WUSB, Stony Brook.
Carry on this way.